Good morning. If you've been with us over these past number of weeks, you know that we are talking about a theme for the whole year, Mission Possible. And we have said that the mission to reach the world for Jesus is very possible, but not without some very important ingredients. And I have those ingredients listed for you on the screen behind me and in your bulletin. I'd like for you to take a moment. That's not it. That's all you gave me, man. That's all I gave you. Well, we'll go on. Not without prayer. You know, we're not gonna reach this world without prayer. We're not gonna reach this world without the Holy Spirit. We're not going to reach this world without boldness, and we're not going to reach this world without love. I mean, every one of those points are needed in reaching the world with the good news of Jesus. And over these weeks to come, I'm going to share with you some more ingredients. Each week, a different ingredient. Now, put that on the back burner for just a moment and follow my train of thinking. I love coconut cream pie. I'm like the fella who said he likes two kinds of pie, cold and hot. And if you give me a choice between a piece of pie and a piece of cake, 90% of the time I'm going to choose the piece of pie. Not that I don't like cake. I do like cake, but I like pie that much better. And if my wife's coconut cream pie is that choice of pie, and on the other side is a piece of cake, 90% goes up to 99.9% that I'm going to choose her coconut cream pie simply because it's really, really good. And as far as ingredients that go into making that pie, every one of those ingredients is important. Now, she's the pie maker, I'm not. And so on our way to church this morning, I was confirming to her what she puts into her coconut cream pie. And I was right on most of the points. Flour for the crust. And she puts eggs and cornstarch and milk and, of course, coconut. All of that is very important in making that coconut cream pie. You leave out one of those ingredients, the pie is not going to taste quite like it's supposed to taste and what I'm used to eating from her. And likewise, all of these ingredients, we're going back to where we started, all of these ingredients are necessary for the Great Commission to actually be possible. I want to add one more ingredient this morning to this list, and that is the word community. The Great Commission is possible, but not without community. Think with me for a moment. God made us to desire community. As far back as the Garden of Eden, we see the need and the desire for community. Adam was alone in the garden, and God said, "It's not good for man to live alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him." And if you read further into that second chapter of Genesis, you learn about how God created the woman. He caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. And God then performed the first surgery ever known to man. He reached down and he removed a rib from Adam's side. And somehow from that rib, he made the first woman. And then he brought her to the man. She was naked. And he was naked. And you do know how she got the name woman. Adam saw her for the first time and he said, "Whoa, man." And the name stuck. They kind of liked each other. And God made us to desire community. That's why the COVID shutdown was so hard on so many people. People desire community, and when we didn't have community, when we were told that we couldn't have community, it was hard on us. People isolated in their homes, especially those who lived by themselves, so many of them became depressed and lonely, and their mental health took a big hit. I remember what a wonderful blessing it was when we had been gone from one another for 7 weeks and we came back together. That first Sunday was such a wonderful celebration. You know why? Because we need each other. We need community. We need to have relationships with each other. Isn't it interesting that even God is a relational God? He wants to have community with us. That's why we have the Word of God. Because this book introduces us to God. It tells us what God is like. It helps us to understand Him. It helps us to have a relationship with Him. This is why Jesus came into the world in the flesh, because He wanted to show us the Father. He wanted to introduce us to what the Father was like, and we could look at Him and we could then see the Father. Jesus came to save us from our sins so that we could have a relationship with the Father. And heaven for all eternity is going to be a place of community and relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let me read to you from Jeremiah 31, verse 33 from the New Living Translation. It says, "But this is the new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." You've heard the phrase covenant God? Our God is a covenant God. Our God is a promise keeper. He is a relationship initiator. He wants community with you and with me. And that's why He has not brought judgment onto this world yet. I know you've thought the same thought that I have had. What in the world is God waiting on? What is it that keeps Him from bringing judgment upon this earth when He looks and He sees all of the chaos and all of the hatred and all of the wickedness and all of the darkness? What is it that keeps Him from coming and just putting a stop to all of this? I'll tell you what keeps Him from coming back. He wants a relationship with us. And He wants one more to come. He wants one more to come. Just one more. And that's why He's not coming yet. He loves us so much. He wants a relationship with us. He wants community with us. We are made in His image. And so it should not surprise us that we are made to have community with each other. The mission is possible, but not without community. And so let me mention to you some of the blessings of community, and let me encourage you to help make Reinhardt a place of community. In other words, help make Reinhardt a place where people feel welcomed and loved. First of all, community gives us a sense of belonging. A few weeks ago, I listened online to my son Jonathan preach a sermon at his church, and he spoke about this idea of belonging to a family. For you that are new, Jonathan is our oldest child, And he and his sister Abby, who is our middle child, they were both adopted into our family. Early on, Cindy and I struggled with infertility, and God provided two miracles for us in the form of little babies that we could adopt and call our own. We chose them, just like God chose all of us to be his children. And then he provided a third miracle for us, Rebecca, who was our natural-born child. And all three of them we deeply loved, and we still deeply love them. God has been very good to us. And Jonathan was always a very deep thinker, unlike his father. I've never been accused of being a deep thinker. I just wish someone would come up to me afterwards and say, "Kevin, you are such a deep thinker." It would make me feel good. I've never had anybody say that to me before. But Jonathan, even as a little tot, was such a deep thinker. He had all of these questions about being adopted. And we had answers for him, but it seemed like our answers really never satisfied him fully. And so it was especially good to hear him preach and tell his story of adoption to his church family. And that he's given this thought all through his years, and that he felt a sense of belonging to our family. He felt special. He felt loved by us. And as you can tell, it was so heartwarming to hear him speak about that. We knew he felt that way. We knew that he knew that we loved him and that he loved us, but to hear him tell his story was really a blessing to us. Brothers and sisters, all of us have a need to belong. And the church should be a place that meets that need. And the beauty of the church is that we are all different from one another, and yet we can feel a part of one another. We can feel like we belong to each other. I mean, this is the one place where KU fans and MU fans can really love each other, isn't it? I mean, this is the one place where Chiefs fans and Raider fans can hug one another and say all is good. We're all different from one another. Every one of us are different from the other. Some of us are folks that we're okay with being up front. And others of you maybe are just the opposite of that. You just soon be behind the scenes. You don't want to have anything to do with being up front. And some of you are social butterflies, and others of you would prefer to just get out the door when the last amen has been said. And some are deep thinkers, and some of us are not. But we all can feel and should feel like we belong to the body of believers, because God loves us all the same. He's chosen us. He has adopted us as his children. We are a part of the redeemed. And if God's arms are open to every single person, then we should have our arms open to every single person too. And if it gets to the point that there's too many people that the building can't hold us all comfortably, then that's a good problem to have. And our leaders are talking about some solutions to that. And this morning we do have a lot of empty chairs. Last Sunday we didn't have hardly any empty chairs. And some people would go out the door and say, "Where are all these people coming from? I don't know. This, what happened to our little church?" Well, that can't be our attitude. That cannot be our mindset. Because God wants the church to grow. God wants the church to expand. God wants the church to cause a disturbance in the whole world. That's what was happening in the book of Acts. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. But I just want you to know, we've got to begin, if we're not already, to think the way God thinks. Yes, God wants the church to grow. He wants it to outgrow the building. And so I'm asking you, as our leaders talk about solutions to these kinds of problems, to pray for them. Pray for them to be wise. Pray for them to have God's leading. And in the meantime, it's our job to try and help everyone feel like they belong. I'm appreciative. We've got some families up here who said, we'll sit on the front row. We'll give up our back row seats. That's what's going on here. Ethan said, "If I'm going to sit up there, Kevin, don't spit on me." I'll try not to. But I think the early church helped people to feel like they belonged. They were sharing meals with one another. They were in one another's homes. They were meeting one another's needs. They were helping the poor. They were feeding the hungry. Some, such as Barnabas, was selling pieces of property and giving the proceeds to the church to distribute out to those who were hurting. If we can become such a community of believers, people out there in the world are going to want to be a part of that. And so my whole challenge to you today is to be that kind of community. You help us be that kind of community where people's arms are open to everyone who walks in the door, and that we're showing them the love of Jesus. Not just on a Sunday morning, but when we see them at Walmart, or if we know that there's a need, that we're helping meet that need. We need to belong to each other. Let me give to you a second point as we talk about the blessings of community. Community gives us support amidst hardship. Romans chapter 12 is a chapter that gives emphasis to community, and particularly verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." All of us face hardship. And it's nice to have a support group who will stand with us amidst hardship. Why? So that we don't have to bear it alone. So that we don't have to walk through that hardship by ourselves, to bear the burden by ourselves. No, it's so much better to have people who will stand with us, who will weep with us. You can't put a price tag on that kind of community. Many of you are familiar with the passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Let me read that to you. It says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart." We need each other. Have you thought about this? When you are giving support to someone else in their hardship, you are being just like Jesus. to that person. I mean, that's what Jesus has done for all of us. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 says, "Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down." Jesus was the great burden bearer. And he's called us to be burden bearers too. If the church can be that kind of community, I think the world will be attracted to that. Here's the third blessing of community. Community sharpens us. I meet with three small groups through the course of a week, including Sunday school on a Sunday morning, and every one of those small groups have a sharpening effect on me. In fact, one of our memory verses with one of the groups, Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man or so one person sharpens another." Would you read that with me, please? "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." That's the benefit of a small group. And I experience that every time that I'm with a community of believers in a study together. Why is that? Because as we sit with one another, and maybe we're looking at a passage of Scripture, they have different thoughts than what I might have about that. And we can begin to discuss and interact with each other. And I learn from them, and they learn from me. And we each have different experiences that we share. And through all of that, we are reminding one another of God's faithfulness and God's love and God's grace. We sharpen one another through our fellowship. We sharpen one another through our interaction with each other. Let me just say this with all the gentleness that I possibly can. If you're not in a small group, you are missing out on one of the great blessings of Christianity. Let that sink in for a moment. If you are not connected with a small group, you are missing out on one of the great blessings of church life. I mean, Sunday school is a good place to try and get started with this kind of community. We have classes every Sunday morning at 9:30 for kids of every age, and we have four adult classes to choose from. And then there's opportunity, too, for other small groups that meet maybe on Sunday night or through the week. And we don't have, honestly, we don't have a lot of small groups. We have some. But I've always said this, too, to have small groups, you got to have leaders, people who are willing to lead a small group. And God might prompt you. If you've been a Christian for a while, why don't you step up and say, "Hey, I'll be a leader of a small group." We need that. We need that here. Because small groups, we sharpen each other when we're interacting with one another, when we're eating with each other, we're getting to know one another. I was talking with Dave Schaefer this morning and about this very thing, and he said, you know, when you sit down with somebody and eat with them around their table, you have the opportunity to talk with each other and get to know one another better. We're talking about community. We're talking about togetherness. And I think there's a lot of folks out there in the world who they're just kind of feeling stuck out there all by themselves, and they're bearing their burden alone. They really don't have people who care for them. And if they knew that they could be a part of a community like this, you see, we gotta go out there and we gotta reach them for Jesus and bring them into the community. And they can be sharpened just like we can be sharpened. I'll give you one final blessing of community. Community helps us be stronger and have a greater impact. Most people are looking for a cause to be a part of. Isn't that true? Most people are looking for a cause to be a part of, and I think that's why people get so involved in rescuing dogs and cats and save the whales. Or let's all get together and let's save the historic district of the downtown area. And you name it, you fill in the blank of what people are getting connected with. They find a group that has a similar mindset as what they have, and they get connected with that group, and then they go to work. I want to give you a challenge. Join a community that is going to have an eternal impact. And that's the church. Join a community that is going to have an eternal impact. As we come together as a community, we become a stronger voice. I mean, that's true with anything. You get people together that they're all convinced that their cause is the right cause, their voice gets a whole lot stronger. And we need to utilize that power in community for a good cause, for Jesus, for an eternal impact. The early church had a huge impact on the world around them. Let me read to you some scriptures out of the book of Acts. And maybe if you have your Bibles, you could just follow along with me. It'll be on the screen too. But Acts chapter 1, I want you to see the progression of this community that was following Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. At this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering, here it is, of about 120 persons was there together. Okay, there's the start. You have the 11 disciples. You have several women involved that had been following Jesus. And if you've been watching The Chosen, it does a really good job of showing that, this following of people with him, included men and women. And then his brothers, they join in because of the resurrection. They had been unbelievers, and now all of a sudden they're believers, and they're a part of the group. They're the part of the inner core. There's 120 people that starts out. Chapter 2, verse 41. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. The number begins to grow. Chapter 4, verse 4. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. There you have a larger number, 5,000 men. That doesn't include the women and the children. So maybe the number's up close to 10,000 at this time. Chapter 5, verse 14. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. At this point, they can't even tell you the number. It's just multitudes of people. The number is growing so fast. Chapter 16, verse 20. I want you to see a couple of accusations that are made of the early church. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, who's the them? They brought Paul and Silas to the chief magistrates, and their charge is, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews. They're throwing an entire city. What city? It's Macedonia, Thyatira, and then Philippi. They're throwing this whole region, this whole city into confusion. And one final verse 17, chapter 17, verse 6. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." Wow. It started with 120 people, and in a relatively short period of time, the entire world is being upset with the gospel. When we come together as a community of believers and we have a common cause, the impact can be earth-shaking. If every one of us here were really centered in on this common cause of reaching the world with the gospel, Vernon County and Bourbon County and those counties surrounding us would not go untouched. There would be some heads turning because of the community that is happening here. We have a common cause, and that is to make Christ known. The mission is very possible. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you that you sent your Son here to save us, that we could have forgiveness of sins and we could be a part of your community. Help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.